Coming up on podcast 1297, Mercedes-Benz commits to a 60 billion euro EV future. Stick around, I'm going to tell you all about it. Also on the show today, the Cyber Quad for kids is here just in time for Christmas. Škoda improving their ENIAC, and 500 new chargers coming to the US West Coast. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. What happened on Friday, 3rd of December? My name is Martin Lee. I've been writing this show every day. I've just not been able to come to you behind the mic and talk to you about it because, as you can hear, I'm still sick. But I'm not so sick that I can't come and record something. So thank you so much for bearing with me. It's really frustrating. Took a holiday, so I took some time off the podcast, which we never do anyway. And then it goes and gets sick, which just frustrates me and, you know. It just annoys me, but there we go. So I like to be here every day with you, and not doing that, I'm just a bad patient, I think is what I'm trying to say, which is funny because my wife's a nurse. Right, let's talk about our Patreon supporters who have been very generous with their patience recently. Patreon executive producer signing up today. George has probably been wondering, hang on a minute, I just signed up and where's my podcast gone? George Tortorolo, or Tortorolo. Either way, George, thank you so much for signing up on Patreon. We'll start with the headline news today. Mercedes-Benz investing 60 billion euros into their future. Daimler's supervisory board had a meeting which approved Mercedes-Benz business plan for the next 4 years, 22 to 2026. What they call a software-driven, emissions-free future. So, the 60 billion euros are going to be spent to go electric at a time when they also want to reduce capex. So they want to reduce the spending on their capital expenditure over the next 4 years, but appreciate they have to up their spending on R&D, on the electrification of their portfolio, their digitization, a bit of autonomy in there as well. In addition, the gradual shift towards a direct sales model. They put in their press release today, which they say will include control over vehicle pricing. That's their plan. That's what they're seeking. I imagine Mercedes dealerships are reading that or hearing that, or they knew about it already and thinking, okay, well, how will we do that? Will you still buy a Mercedes-Benz from a dealership? Many of them franchised. Maybe they'll just be there for service. Maybe you'll buy it online, but then you get the delivery day through from the dealership, and then there's more of a kind of a fixed cost commission structure where Merck pay their dealerships a fee to hand the car over. We don't know how it's going to work out yet. I'm really fascinated to see how dealerships evolve in the future. So many people go, oh, well, like Tesla's way, Apple's way, it's the only way to do it. It's not, right? So many people need someone to help them through the car buying process. And it's not about service and going back. It's about finding someone who you get along with and finding someone who is there as a teacher, not just as a salesperson to hit their commission, but genuinely wants to tell you about your options and help you buy a car. Well, so many people want that. They just don't want the direct model. So really, I'm really fascinated to see where that goes in the world of EVs. Mercedes-Benz will go all electric by the end of the decade, where market conditions allow, they say. Important caveat. Hey, we're going to be fully electric, where market conditions allow, they say. The investment plan for the next 4 years is in line with their goal of cutting their capex, they say, and reducing it beyond the day after as well. The key to achieving that is stringent prioritization of their investments, they say, by focusing on electric mobility. The company expects the use of standardized battery platforms and scalable vehicle architectures, they say, to make a really big difference. So along with advances in battery technology to contribute to a reduction in the costs of vehicles. The proportion of battery costs in a vehicle is expected to decrease significantly, they hope, at least in the next decade. I'll pop a link to the Daimler.com press site if you want to read all the details on that. Next, the Electrify America sites, which are going up at the minute, have battery storage, Tesla storage, funnily enough. Electrify America announcing they've now installed on-site battery energy storage at 140 DC fast charging stations around the country, more than 90 installations of them in California. Well, these systems in total have more than 30 megawatts of storage capacity, representing the largest rollout of on-site behind-the-meter energy storage coupled with ultra-fast DC charging in North America. According to Electrify America, the battery energy storage systems store power when electricity costs are low and supplement power during high points of consumption. Minimize the impact of the impact on the grid. But actually, the US, I won't go super into the weeds here, but the US has a thing called demand pricing or demand surge pricing, where if you exceed a certain, I think this is the way it works, obviously I'm not there, a certain threshold, even if it is for either a very short amount of time, or I think it's based on the kilowatts. And so if you exceed that threshold of the surge limit, the surge pricing, then the cost of all of your electricity goes up. And so they want to keep that a more consistent level, which is where batteries will smooth out those demand surges. One of the prominent obstacles utility providers face can be demand charges, electricity surcharges on peak power usage, designed to capture the marginal costs imposed on the grid by, you know, high capacity, high utilization infrastructure, things like factories, okay? But when you take that business model that you designed for, you know, a very high power factory and do it for charging stations, it doesn't work as well. Traditional demand charges are levied on high capacity infrastructure, but EV charging stations aren't always used, you know, all of the time. The usage goes up and down. It's a disproportionate cost burden on a station owner. And Electrify America's investment in behind-the-meter battery energy storage has the potential to maximize renewable energy usage as well, storing excess renewables at times when they're available and cheaper, and then using them later. Okay, let's move on and talk Tesla announcing an all-electric $1,900 Cyber Quad. It's for kids. Less than $2,000 for the Cyber Quad. You can order it right now on Tesla's website. It ships in 2 to 4 weeks. A surprise announcement, some people say, more than a couple of years after Tesla announcing a full-size Cyber Quad, the ATV will be coming. The new pint-sized Cyber Squad, I should be calling it, I guess, is designed for kids 8 years old and up, and ones that have parents that can afford to buy them a $2,000 electric ATV. Steel frame, cushioned seats, adjustable suspension, disc braking, LED light bar completes the cyberpunk aesthetic. The all-new ATV has a top speed of 10 miles an hour, and the battery will power up to 15 miles of range. Okay, next we'll talk about Rivian, and they need to connect their vehicles to the cloud. All EVs are connected vehicles after all. Not all, most of them are. And Amazon are the biggest investor in Rivian, so who do you think they turned to for cloud services? Oh, would that be Amazon Web Services? Yes, indeed, it is. Things like over-the-air updates, things like fleet management, connecting your vehicle, opening the app and making sure that you can preheat, pre-cool, lock, unlock, sound the horn, etc. All got to go through the cloud. Well, if your biggest investor is Amazon and they have Amazon Web Services, why wouldn't you use AWS? So indeed, they are. Next, we'll talk about VW's ID3 getting a refresh and Toyota offering EV hubs for sales. That's on the way. Stick around. Now, we'll talk about the VW ID Buzz. Second time this week we've mentioned it. The long-awaited ID Buzz is going to arrive in 2023 in the USA for a 2024 model year. And some new photos showing it doing some Arctic Circle cold weather testing have surfaced. And now these are on Car and Driver website. Earlier this week we talked about, I think it was a Car Wow we're talking about it. And so the ID Buzz is a modern interpretation of the 1960s microbus, an icon of the hippie era. So again, it's going to have that MEB platform, the powertrain, I would say, from an ID4, something like that. Rear-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, 300 horsepower, you know, 250 miles, big battery, and that is getting closer and closer, because now we see from these pictures that the camouflage is coming off. And in these pictures, they're doing Arctic Circle cold weather testing. Now, when you get a car at that stage, you know it's close. So even though it's a 2023 car for a 2024 model year in the USA, maybe it'll come to Europe next year. I think online reservations either have started or will start. Maybe I'm meant to know that or not know that. Online pre-reservations, I think, are going to start some of the Nordic countries within the next week or so. Very interesting. I'll keep an eye on those websites to see, you know, what they are saying about the vehicle. Staying with VW, and the ID3 is already set for a refresh. It hasn't been on the market for very long, but there's already a planned refresh coming in about a year's time, with significant changes happening as soon as next month. Is this the new normal for EVs? Asks Inside EVs. As soon as next month, the ID3 has an updated infotainment system. There's going to be a larger 12-inch screen in the ID3, which is good because the system in the ID4, I think, is nicer. In addition, the electric hatchback's touch-sensitive climate slider gets some backlighting to make it easier to see at night. ID3 owners have also forced VW to upgrade the cabin with higher-quality fabrics and materials, especially in the upper trims. The above updates all come ahead of a more significant ID3 refresh that's planned for early 2023. So this isn't the big upgrade that's coming. This is a bit of a tweak, if you like, to the car and some of the systems. No, 2023, there's going to be a bigger update coming with more interior materials changed, exterior design updated, and new lights and things like that. So earlier this year when we had the ID3, which is lovely, but it was the ID3 Life Pro Performance. So it wasn't the family spec. It was pretty basic spec. Life Pro, that was it. Life Pro Performance was the ID3 that we had. And honestly, it felt like a bigger, better, more updated E-Up. So sitting inside it, and we've had two VW Golfs over the years, sitting inside that car, it didn't feel the money. It felt like a small city runaround with lots of room inside. But the materials, when you touched it, when you looked around, had the slightly smaller screen, it wasn't like a smaller ID4. It was like a bigger E-Up. I wasn't impressed. I wouldn't personally pay that money for that spec. I would get a slightly better spec ID3 and be really happy with it. It's a great car. But that spec I had for the price they were charging at the time, and this was a while ago, I think it was worth it. I just thought, this is cloth seats, etc., etc., which is all fine. Just charge me slightly less for this, or upgrade the materials, which it appears they have done, which is a very good sign. Let's talk Toyota, and they're going to offer specialized electric car hubs in their dealerships. Toyota will sell its new range of pure electric vehicles, because apparently there are some coming. The first one we know in the US is going to be called the BZ4X, but if they do sell it here, it will be called the BZ4X at a series of dealer hubs, if you like. Existing Toyota dealers, but like a little desk in the corner with an EV expert. Toyota's European product and marketing boss is Andrea Carlucci, telling Auto Express magazine that the BZ hubs are likely to be store-in-store, a dedicated part of the showroom floor. The BZ4X has a 71.4 kilowatt-hour battery, and that's a pretty decent size. It's about the same size as the new MG ZS EV, the updated one that's just about arriving now. And that'll do 250, 280 miles, depending on driving and weather outside. And so we'll wait and see how Toyota do with that. But they've gone for a pretty decent size battery in the BZ4X. I think they want me to say BZ4X. But I'm not in America. Next, we'll talk Skoda, I should say. And Skoda in the UK is reducing the time for new ENIAC customers to charge their car because they are doing away with one of the most infuriating parts of buying a Skoda ENIAC, which I called them out on when they announced it, when they revealed the car, when they put the car on sale. Every single time I've had a real issue with what the decision they made was, that car can charge at 125 kilowatts, right? That platform, the MEB platform. But they hobbled it down to 50 kilowatts DC fast charging unless you ticked and paid more, ticked the box in the options list and paid more money to unlock faster charging. And I don't mind charging for leather seats, a sunroof, self-driving technology. But hey, I think the fundamentals of an EV, if it can have four wheels, sell me one with four wheels, don't sell me one with three and charge me more for the last one, right? And if it can charge at 125, let me charge at 125. Don't sell me a car that charges at 50 unless I've gone into the long options list and paid extra to charge faster. At the time, I said it's going to play havoc with the used car market because you're going to go to buy a used ENIAC and say to the person selling it, oh, does it charge at 50 or faster? And if they don't know, it's going to be like, well, this is ridiculous. How do we find this out? So they're doing away with that stupid decision to make you charge, well, make you pay more for faster charging. So the new ENIAC IV60 and the 80 will charge at the speeds that the platform can charge at. So 120 kilowatts for the small one, 125 for the big one. Maximum charge rate is now the charge rate that the car can do as standard without shaking money out of your wallet for what I think is a ridiculous reason. Next, Tritium, the charger maker. The Brisbane-based fast charging manufacturer Tritium has secured an order for 400 fast chargers from EVCS, one of the largest fast charging networks in the US West Coast. Tritium will supply 400 Tritium fast chargers in California, Oregon, and Washington, in addition to the 100 there already. They are between 50 kilowatts and 175 kilowatts, which is pretty good. Still a lot of 50 kilowatt infrastructure going in, by the way, around the world. So even though it's always nice to charge faster, loads of 50s go in. And, you know, and if your car can charge at a peak rate of 75, 80, 90, 100, 125, in many cases, if it's colder, if it's a high state of charge, it certainly won't. And if it's a car that has a peak rate that's, you know, you hit that peak rate, but then it kind of slows down really quickly, there's no point putting in this infrastructure when it's going to fall below 50 kilowatts really quickly. So, you know, it makes sense in some cases. Let's talk about Polestar next. And Polestar, which is the Volvo sub-brand, is going to have an additional EV offering in addition to the two that are on sale right now. The Polestar 3 will be the next to arrive, and they've just shared the first photo of the Polestar 3. This is going to be in the same market as a Jaguar I-Pace, right? Or a BMW iX. No details on powertrain, unfortunately. But the CEO, Thomas Ingenlath, who I met a few weeks ago at Move 2021, I think he might have been over for COP26, actually, in Scotland, and then came down to do a keynote in London, which is where I met him. Fascinating guy, actually, saying that it'll have single motor and dual motor configuration like the Polestar 2. Polestar 3 goes on sale next year, and pricing will start around $75,000. Then there's going to be a Polestar 5. That is the luxury flagship sedan for 2024. Then they'll fill in the gap and do the Polestar 4, I think sometime after. So it's not sequential. But either way, that's going to be an SUV, by the way, the Polestar 4. Final story today. And used electric cars are now selling faster than petrol cars. Used electric cars are even quicker to sell than the best combustion cars out there, according to the Auto Trader website, saying the average used vehicle is taking 26 days to sell, quicker than anything combustion. But what about the various models? A Nissan Leaf is the fastest selling used EV in the UK. It used to be the Zoe, but now it's the Leaf. It takes 20 days on average to find a buyer on Auto Trader. In second place is a Renault Zoe, taking 23 days to sell. And a nearly new Model 3 will take 27 days on average to shift. According to Auto Trader, the acceleration in sales times is down to the massive growth in customer interest and demand in EVs. And of course, the supply of them is still very, very limited. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Which EV makers are on Santa's naughty list and which ones are on Santa's nice list? Tell me why. Email me your suggestion at hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you so much to all of our Patreon partners and your patience with me as I've been fighting off whatever this rancid virus is that I have. That's very frustrating. But thank you very much for your patience. Our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good day, cinema. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.